You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, so I think it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah, I think it'd be okay. But perfectly honest, we need a good opening, like an intro to the show. Like some podcasts, like I listen to, like, they start off at a harmonica, and they got this cool announcer thing that they go to. Us, it's just me. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Low Key Wall. I really do hope I've got the episode number right. I don't remember. Mm. I'm trying to be a professional podcaster, but no, I am just a floating head with a microphone talking to you on the airways, trying to entertain everyone, doing the very best I can. I don't even know if I'm truly live or I'm just another floating head out in the world. Anyway, so you're joined here with my Harry, aka Moving Target, and I'm also joined with you know him in the meth lab, Vincent Cooper. Going to go say hi.
Rude. It's not a meth lab, as one of the people on the channel put it. It is a 70s orgy dungeon. It's different. Different.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I can see that. You do got the
70s. I mean, it was made in the 70s, so.
This room has seen so much action. If these walls could talk, I wouldn't want it to.
If these walls could talk, they could probably write 8 documentaries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two of them about the progress of chlamydia.
Oh my god. Anyway, so yeah, you've tuned in to some of the best libertarian talk on the network. And it's wrong. No, the nerds have taken over the microphones. The nerds have taken over the microphones, and we're talking about other stuff into pop culture and everything else that's going on in the world. Now, granted, this episode was supposed to be us talking more about the media that shaped us. I was gonna start talking about Gundam Wing, which I had this whole spiel about why I wanted to talk about it today. Because I really wanted to do it last week, but like why I wanted to do it, around this time, had the huge spiel because I started watching the Gundam Wing before and finished it a lot after 9/11. So it was very important to me around that time because we recorded this on 9/12. And I really did want to go into that. It's fine. So you might be wondering why we're not talking about that. Well, the great white Reinhold, the endangered Rhino on the Wall Network. He is apparently having a rough night, which honestly probably is my fault. I was coming down with a headache around 7 o'clock and said, you know what? I don't want this. And just kind of pushed it out into the universe. And I'm sure, Rhino must have grabbed it. It was like, hey, what's this? Oh my God.
You just passed it on telepathically. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to deal with it.
Just handed it to him. Just like, just gave it out into the ether. And he probably just went in like, hey, this looks fun. What's this? And just boom, hit him with it, right on the top of the head, boom, boot to the head, so. That's nice. It's fine. I wasn't geared up to just talk about Gundam anyways, and that speech is lined up. Like,
you just do it next week. It'll be fine.
I'd be fine.
I mean,
honestly, this next week. Yeah, because next week someone might be location challenged, so we don't know how to do anything. Because we probably need to do a key up audio testing and mic testing Sunday night
I'm just gonna bring my mic with me.
Yeah, we may need a key up and figure out what's going on because one of us will be location challenged. It's him, he'll be location challenged.
Yes, I have orientation for the job I got over from between last episode and now. I was like, I wasn't worried. I stated I wasn't worried about it. Just
he was worried. He's already into case five of the emergency 25-year-old pudding.
I'm keeping that pudding for a rainy day, sir, which was today. So I had like one of them.
Yeah, this going to a fake sponsor. I was like, this is why you need to get our survival prep food. This is what right. The sponsor rule would go here and go right here. But I don't know. It might be good because like there's the because I really wanted to talk about what was it? Episode 21 of Gundam Wing. It's when the I Want to Be a Loser speech. Mm-hmm. So, ooh, maybe I could send you the speech, but you could do the other part for me, and I could do half the speech, and you could do the other half. It'd be great. Just voice action. It'd be great.
Planned it for next week. Oh, God.
In my head, it sounds good. It'd be awesome, but it's
probably going to be great. Terrible. It just depends. just means how much in character you're willing to get.
Well, if I had a Trace Christianata costume, I'd probably be having on right now. Or I'd probably wear it all the time. Wouldn't take it off. Personally,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I did use it as a anime. It was my anime avatar for the longest time on Facebook.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's fun talking to people with anime avatar. Especially a white guy anime avatar.
Anime avatars are sketchy. You never know. Mm-hmm. It's on the other end of it. Oh, God.
This is how
anime is, though.
Yeah. So, I did finally get to watch, like, when it comes to polyculture. So, one thing, which over the weekend and some of last week, Lower Decks, Paramount mm-hmm. Plus had their free trial thing. So, like, I got to watch the first season of Lower Decks that was on through Amazon Prime. And So I got to watch whole episodes instead of like mm-hmm. the clips of Lower Decks I've seen, and I still have the exact same opinion I had. Like, this is some of the best Star Trek that has come out since Enterprise. Okay. All right. The movies were trash. Okay. They were neat to look at. Turn your brain off and eat popcorn. Course, but it wasn't Star Trek. STD wasn't Star Trek. Picard was trash. All right. But Lower Decks, oh my God, it is gold. it is too good for its own right. It is. When I was trying to explain to someone at work, the main reason why Lower Decks work and everything else doesn't is because all the tropes in Lower Deck are over the top, but it needs the straight lace and needs Star Trek to be Star Trek for this to make any sense. This doesn't make any sense in a world with Star Trek Discovery and the other ones. It doesn't make any sense this seems, you know, par for the course of everyone else. What's funny about this? It's funny if you put it next to The Next Generation.
The actual serious and mm-hmm. in-depth analysis stuff like that.
Yeah. It's mocking all of that. You know, the idea, like, this is what we're doing, and these are the plans. And without that, Hordex is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But other than that, it is gold. So they've got like the characters with their different tropes. So you've got mm-hmm. the, you know, over tech genius, like always into my sciences. Everything I care about is how the ship functions. You know, then you've got the other science officer, the medical person who always wants to just, you know, learn more about the biological, humanity, but like the, you know, bipedal condition. And then you've got the straight lace, you know, by the book, you know, Starfleet is everything nerd guy. And then you've got, you know, the female Mary Sue who can just do anything, can do attitude. And everyone's like, oh, complaining because like, no, it's a freaking trope and it's freaking awesome, especially when you find out like the captain is her mother. So it's like this mother daughter duo, they're both freaking Mary Sue's doing everything they can, right? so it's even more of a trope, especially when her father's like this great admiral of the thing. It's like, okay, this is super tropey and it's hilarious,
right?
Because it's played serious, but it's all trope. It's meant to be made fun of, the whole genre of it. And it's like I said, it's the best piece of Star Trek I have seen in a while.
That makes total sense, because, you know, sometimes they get a little bit Over the top with trying to make it more modernized. That happened a lot with a lot of things.
Yeah.
They try too hard to make it modern.
Yeah.
And it loses its luster and stuff.
Well, Star Trek Discovery and stuff like that, they went to this weird militaristic style of the future, you know, where Star Trek is supposed to be the betterment of our society, something like that. We're beyond such petty disputes, and it's supposed to be something to strive for. And they went into like this weird, like, no, we don't get any of this. We're basically like this space military and everything's hardcore. Like the idea, like even like if you look at the commentary, Gene Roddenberry was talking about the ship of the Enterprise. They wanted the Enterprise and Next Generation to not look militaristic. Everything should be like neutral colors. This thing should be ergonomic and comfy, not a battle station, but everything was like a battle station Discovery, you know? You know, and even in Picard, like everything was like a battle station. You're constantly at war or fighting with these people. It's like, all right. So he's like, what happened to the new worlds and discoveries and the science stuff? And I can understand you want to tell a different story. And there's tons of different stories that you can tell in Star Trek, like beyond the main cast being in Starfleet. I think if anything that Deep Space Nine did was like, all right, half the cast is in Starfleet, but the other half is not a Starfleet member. They just deal with Starfleet. And I think moving more in that direction of here are some humans, here's some other races, you know, like different things, doing stuff in the world, and they have nothing to do with the Empire, the, you know, the coordination. They're for a company, or they're just a trope of people. They're just a troop, you know, like, hey, we're coterie. We're doing these things. You know, this is what we do. You know, and play to that, you know, like Jake Sisko, Captain Sisko's son, right? He's like working for a newspaper. What, like, or journalism? Like, what about a story about that? Like, journalism inside of, like, you know,
right? But that involves you, you know, world building things that aren't already there, and not taking old things and go, we're going to take it and put new icing on this cake and hopefully it looks good, but this icing is actually spinach icing with this chocolate cake, so it just doesn't work.
Yeah pretty much yeah. I would love to get something like that, or just like Garrick, you know, like with the Obsidian Order, going back in time doing that and going with like, this is like the dark things that Garrick did. Like, you can, like, if you really want to talk dark stories, there are wars and stuff that has happened, but it did have nothing to do with Starfleet. You know, it's
right,
you know, and the idea that I dislike the idea, like, Deep Space Nine only also works if Starfleet is, you know, the good guys, poppy bubblegum good guys. They have to be painted that was other than that way. Deep Space Nine doesn't work. The idea that Captain Sisko twists himself and turns himself and wrenches with his character and how he feels himself as a Starfleet captain, it only works if he's the only one that's doing it and he's keeping these things in. But if everyone else is doing it, if everyone else is this scumball, you know, just messing with the world, it doesn't really work for me. You know, it's like, fine, then he's nothing special.
Right. It's not the whole thing is that Starfleet is supposed to be like a utopian-esque society, and that they're dealing with other new worlds that aren't that, and then happen to figure out how to balance the Prime Directive with that stuff, or the moral implications of all that stuff. But when it's not the utopian all good guys, it just kind of loses its luster.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's like, that's a lot of the pain that I got from that. And then don't get me started on Star Trek Picard. I wanted to watch, I can't even pull myself to watch one episode of it yet. So I'm not going to like voice my opinion too much of it. I watched Angry Joe, which is a reviewer. Mm-hmm. Go follow Angry Joe, the Angry Joe Show, the Angry Joe Army. Like, go follow
some great reviews.
Great reviews, and I'm watching him just die inside.
Oh, God.
Each episode, I was just like, "Oh no!" I was like, "I can't watch this. I've seen it. What's it doing to him?"
You know, like, right. A lot of people have that pain for certain things when the people try to make new things and it's terrible because they don't actually understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, Picard, the Halo show, because we don't even get into that, even though neither one of us are Halo fans, we already know how bad that is. You know, it's sad when they take something that is at its core interesting and then just don't understand the complexities of what they're dealing with and they just destroy it.
Yeah, I think when season two of the Halo show comes out, we should all get together with Ascalja Plas and force him to watch that season.
Poor Ascalja.
And we just record him watching that season.
We need to make him watch season one first if we're making him watch
it. Oh, anything. Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to make him binge watch the first season back to back. Back to back. Oh, he's going to watch every episode back to back. And we're just going to be there forcing him through it. You know,
I don't know. I don't think I could watch a grown man cry like that. Just watching something he loves so much just get destroyed just for no reason.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, he does not drink a lot of water, so he probably can't cry that much. So if it makes you feel any better, he'll be out of tears eventually.
That's terrible.
What? Oh, so I'm the bad guy.
Nah, I mean, you're not the bad guy. I totally get it. During this downtime of not having a job, I've also been consuming a lot of stuff because I had the 7-day free trial of High Dive, the anime streaming.
Yeah.
And immediately watched the anime Executioner in Her Way of Life.
Okay.
Because it's a great twist on the premise of the isekai genre. So like a kid gets isekai into this world and these nobles are like, oh, your power sucks, and he throws him out and he meets this random priestess. And this priestess shows him around the world and you see that the world is completely, this fantasy world has like bullet, like neon signs with Japanese written on it. It's like, yeah, Japanese people, humans especially from Japan, have been showing up in our world for years. So we've just adapted because they're going to keep showing up. So our world has been affected by Japan. And she shows this dude around, and then she brings him to her chapel in the outskirts of town. And he starts figuring out his ability. He's like, oh, my ability is actually null. It doesn't mean that I don't have anything. It just means I can destroy anything. Oh, man, it would be so great. I could take down anybody in my path. He turns around, and the priestess stabs him in the throat and kills him immediately. She's like, no. We don't need your powers aren't in our world. Because her whole thing is that she's an executioner for the church. Whose whole point is to kill the humans that are brought over from Japan before they cause problems in their world, because they have caused so many issues that they have the four great human errors. They're such massive disasters that they've sectioned off places of the world for it.
So, and they just call him the great four human heirs.
Because one dude had this massive sword that anything it touched turned to salt. And it landed in a continent and turned the entire continent to salt. And it started being, and then the ocean started to destroy the continent. And it not only the continent, but all the people and all the places, everything on the island, instant salt.
Jesus, who would make this weapon?
It's just what his ability was.
Aqua.
And it's just like, right? And like another one of the disasters is called the Pandemonium, which is just this area that's blocked off entirely by fog because it's where all the monsters came from. Because one girl had the power to make monsters. And they isolated all of her chaos into this fog cloud. And nobody's allowed to go in there.
But why would she just make monsters?
She was trying to protect her family there because she formed a family.
So she would make monsters to protect...
Because she was getting hunted. Wow. The executioners killed them. But... The plot bases around that there was another girl that got isekai'd, and her whole thing is that she has time power. So when the main character kills her, time just reverts back instantly, and it was like she never got stabbed. So she's like, oh, hey, Mono. Oh, yeah, we were just walking down the hallway. I think I blacked out for something or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, let's keep going. Like nothing happened. And it's really interesting to watch the perspective of an isekai world from the people that were negatively affected by the humans. That the executioners are, they really show the executioners learning how to be executioners, and there's just a giant map of Japan that they point out, because they all come from Japan. So it's just the history of Japan, the history of humans from Japan, and how to kill them.
This is Truck Sama.
Basically.
We must be Truck Sama.
And on top of that, there's this spoilers for like a couple episodes in. There's a point where, because she can't kill the girl Akari, because she reverts back in time, she ends up taking her to a church that the archbishop is like, this will kill anybody. And then as she's about to get wiped out, Akari just, her power flips and she just stands up, because her future self traveled back in time to her present body. And she knows everything that's happening. So she just prevents it from happening to herself.
Oh, that's broken power.
Right? And she's just like, all right, so this is what happened. Every time I come back here, I can't, there's this one thing I can't do, but, you know, everything else works fine. It's weird this time, but the normal me will be fine. You got this past me. And it's just like, she like shoots time magic through her head so she forgets.
Oh my God.
So in the narrative, the future version sometimes just comes back to the past to prevent bad things from happening. And she knows what the end game is. And she wants to prevent she wants the end game to be different than what it is. Because the whole thing is that the Mano, the main girl, the executioner, her goal is to kill Akari, but she doesn't. And in the future, Akari wants her to kill her. She wants to be killed by Mano. So she keeps coming back in time to put Mano on the path to kill her.
Just going to keep the subtle course correction over time. Small, right. Very subtle course corrections.
But as the 12 episodes went on, every time she tried to course correct, it changed the world. So there's a point where a small sliver of pandemonium gets out. Like, as Pandemonium describes it, again, it gets its pinky out of the fog cloud. And even then, when they combine the mana from the earth and the heavens together, it doesn't even kill it. It just laughs. And its whole thing is like, oh yeah, they've been using my blood as medicine for people. And when they do that, they become my sacrifices. As long as there's people for me to sacrifice, I just keep coming back. Oh, including myself. They can kill themselves to come back. Which is broken. Just so that's broken.
Broken stuff.
And when it's to that point where it's like, yes, this is a 1% of its power, you understand why it's in a fog cloud of prison.
Impressive.
But I'm
glad you like have been very productive.
Whoa. I got Kindle Unlimited now. I've read like 10 books in the past week.
Oh. would you like to say these titles of these books that you
read? No, I will not. I will not say the titles of these books. But I have read books.
What's wrong? You know, this is a safe place. You could...
I don't know them off the top of my head. They're I don't have it on this computer.
All right, that's fine. Can't believe you don't want to, you know, like, just tell everyone the book you're reading. I'm willing to say the books I'm reading.
Yeah, but I'm doing market research in comparison to what you're reading.
Okay, All right, that's fine. You keep your secrets, okay?
I will keep my secrets. It's even better because I know that. No, Ace, it's definitely not that.
But
trust me, it's more trash than that. It's fine. It's worse than that. It's fine.
So I did get the comment like we should probably, because of the podcast, get race, like when we say this stuff in life, it's like I like just being live show, but mm-hmm. like the podcast people don't get that here, the comment
we're comment so no it's more fun so this way.
Oh no, no stuff,
more
no
fun this way. It's so much more fun, they have to figure it out.
So A's for live comment, the entire 50 Shades series is my guess. No,
it's more trash than that.
No. Vince has probably already read that already, right?
It's not good. It's very poor representation of the BDSM community, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And it's a terrible representation of what an actual dominant submissive relationship would be. Terrible representation.
Speaking of BDSM stuff, I can't wait till we can get to another guy out of his mental jail, and then we can get all the dudes to get guys together, and you know.
I like how that led to our doctor in training friend.
Mental jail. Get him out, and then we can go down to Brown Can. I got a whole weekend planned, like some Friday hiking. Got Saturday rope training. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrible.
Why does it sound terrible?
It's like in rope training on a Saturday. That's even worse.
It's going to be great.
If I had to do rope training, I'd do it like on a Wednesday.
It's going
to
be
during the weekend when I'm supposed to relax, nah, screw that.
It's going
to
be on a Saturday. Everyone's going to get some rope. It's going to be great.
Oh, that rope training. Gotcha. I misunderstood.
I don't know. What do you think I'm talking about?
It's fine. We'll figure it out later. Sorry, we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it in post.
Wow! We gotta get rid of your Kindle Unlimited subscription. You've gone to the dark side with that, sir.
Did you think I wouldn't?
I'm over here reading science books, and you're
as stated, we're doing market research because you know money is money, and however, and if you do enough market research, you can find the patterns and. Mm-hmm. In a lot of stories. Yep.
Because money is money. Greed is good.
all I know is that at the 70% way through the book, you need to make the two main leads have a misunderstanding that makes them separate for some ungodly reason. And it never makes sense. It never makes sense.
But it has to happen.
But if all they have to do is talk to mm-hmm. each other, and it would never happen.
They have to have a misunderstanding.
I'm sitting there just like, if they just talked for like 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, and it'd be fine. Everything would be fine.
Most shows and everything has to deal with a misunderstanding. Actually, I can take this spoiler thing down. So I finally got done watching Sonic 2 with my daughter, finally, mm-hmm. all the way through. And that whole show's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And then also have, because I've seen it so many times now, also this is I've noticed like not plot holes, but just like bad writing in it and all this other stuff that I disliked. And I'm willing to give it a pass because it's a PG movie for kids and based on a video game.
Right.
You know?
Because it deserves to have that little bit of pass, because any other video game property movie is usually trash.
Correct. Yeah. And then I'm not like, and then it didn't start off to be like this blockbuster, you know, thing, you know, and it's the reason why I will like, you know, like hit The Last Jedi. I will like, listen, with your budget and what you were supposed to be,
right.
You don't get this pass. You do not get this pass. You have way too much money, which is most people's criticism. And when people go after things like, well, with your budget, you shouldn't have these writing errors, you know?
Right. It's there's a lot of things that people, that's why a lot of people hold different people accountable for things. So mm-hmm. like an even simpler response is in sports. If you're a first round draft pick and you suck, or you're just mediocre, if you're a first round draft pick and you're mediocre, everybody says you're a bust. But if you're a sixth round draft pick and you're mediocre, you're a franchise quarterback.
Right. No one would care. You're right. Everyone would leave you alone. Yeah. Round six. Woo. You're just glad to be here.
Right. Right. Compare people like Andrew Luck, who was like a first round draft pick, who did all of his thing, never won a playoff game, never won a Super Bowl, anything at all. And then you compare somebody just who's been in like the third or fourth round, like a Dak Prescott. People are like, oh, he's so amazing, even though he's won one playoff game his entire career because he's a fourth round draft pick. It's like, this is what just people's perceptive on things based on perceived value. So that honestly, that's why there's a lot of issues. That's why a lot of people have issues with the DCEU and the current MCU as well. Like, you have so much money. They are just pumping cash into you, and you just fail so hard.
So bad.
Right? Like,
so bad.
The original Justice League, the Joss Whedon hat version of it, where they had to bring Henry Cavill back and they had all this money and they couldn't properly CGI his mustache off. And it was terrible because he had to keep the mustache because it was for Mission Impossible. And he was contractually obligated to keep the mustache. So they had to CGI it out, and they couldn't CGI it out well. It's
garbage.
Or you do a the biggest plot contrivance of, why did you say that name?
that was so bad.
Why did you say that name?
Really?
Oh my god!
But that movie could have been so good, I don't know. It's everyone wants to do that style of Batman for some reason, which that I hate. It's just that's another thing. Like, Batman is still wrapped around with the Killing Joke and
the dark and gritty. People like to think he's only dark and gritty when he's not. Yeah. And that's sad because it also shows you how much people don't have creativity when it comes to writing characters like Batman. Because they always shoehorn the Joker into things for no reason, over and over again.
Yep.
Even though he literally dies, and they go, well, technically he can't die, and blah. It's like, it's just make new villains, play with new villains. That's why the Court of the Owls, where it was interesting at first because it showed him being weak and relying on people and him not having everything figured out. The Hush storyline, where it's, you know, this guy has Batman's number. He knows what Batman's going to do, and he's going to exploit it any way, shape, and form.
Yep. But anyway, so back to the Joker.
What about him? What about the Joker?
I don't know. It's
because it's even worse, the fact that for what was it, 5 years, they kept taking the Batman Who Laughs and shoving it into every single comic period. You know what the Batman Who Laughs is?
If I remember correctly, it's the it's a joke storyline one.
It's a dark multiverse Batman where he kills the Joker and the Joker toxin affects Batman. So you have Batman's intelligence and Joker's insanity, and he's like the ultimate killing machine or whatever, which is a cool concept at first. And then he never went away, and he just kept showing up for every event for 5 years. And it got to the point where it's like, well, we can't just have Batman Who Laughs. In this storyline, in this Batman Superman storyline, Batman Who Laughs is going to Joker-fy a bunch of heroes because he can. So he Joker-fies Billy Batson. So he has Joker-fied Shazam, and he Jokerfied the scarab on the Blue Beetle, so you have Joker Blue Beetle. It's like, what the fuck?
How does that even work? How do you even Jokerfies the scarab?
It's the scarab. It's the Jokerfied the alien technology scarab.
It would have sucked it in. And went, interesting.
I don't know.
Tastes like purple and pooped it out.
I don't know.
Scarab just like, I don't know what.
Right, and it's just like it hurt my brain because he's just trying to this shoehorning in as much Batman Who Laughs because he was a cool figurine, and then people were like, oh yeah, Dark Knight's metal, he's the one that everybody cares about, so we're gonna make a sequel and he's gonna be the main character. It's like, why?
Yeah, and then with the down-to-earth grounded Batman, like the most realistic Batman can't live in the world with the Flash and, you know, like,
and Superman. The fact that Superman and Superboy exists just means and Supergirl and Superwoman, and it's like, cool. Bane's here. Hey, Supes, come pick him up.
Yep.
You're fast enough to drive him one side of the universe to the other in less than a minute, so come pick him up.
Come get him. He's right here.
I don't need to do anything.
Yeah, I'm going to laser him with my Wayne Tech satellite, and then I'm going to go home.
Right, it's just like...
Where is he? He's in that building. You can see through walls. He's right there.
Right. Or like the Flash, like, cool. How many speedsters are there? 18? Cool. There should be one in every major hero city. Or yeah.
I think, like, the boys did that very well too. It was like, how did you find us? I knew what city you were in. It took me like 3 minutes.
Right.
Checked every city. I just checked every street.
Right. If you have somebody who's like super fast, might as well just let him take care of it.
Yep. Yeah. Like, because in the boys, in the first episode of the boys, they were sitting there going, like, you know, like they're missing someone. So he's just, I'm just going to go fly above the city in a pattern and just look through all the buildings. I'll eventually will find you. And it's just like, yeah.
Exactly. So, it's just like,
so super all rushing Batman in a world that way. Like, dude, what do you do, man? You know, so
right,
you can't be super realistic. You need to have every goofy effing gadget you get your hands on.
Right. That's why he has to have that's why the Grant Morrison Batman is the one that took over everything. I have a contingency plan for everything Batman. One that caused Tower of Babel. That, like, here's all my contingency plans. I made this bullet that causes the Flash to have seizures on a subatomic level that vibrates the same speed as he can, so he can't stop it. So he's just stuck in seizure mode for a long time. It's like,
Yeah, but that needs to be that Batman to live the
life. Yeah, exactly. What's the to point be a of part you? Of the Justice League, he has to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He has to know how to take out every single person in the Justice League, because if he doesn't, then he has no reason to be there.
Right. Like, why are you here?
Right.
Yep. So, speaking of Justice League, did you see the second Black Adam trailer?
I don't watch. I haven't watched any superhero movies or trailers or anything since I saw Spider-Man Far From Home. I haven't watched the new one. I haven't watched The Eternals.
You don't need to watch The Eternals. All right. So now guess what? Guess what hero they're bringing to the big screen? Defy Black Adam. You ready?
Okay.
It's Mr. Fate.
Dr. Fate?
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Dr. Fate would be fine, but the issue is it's Black Adam, and Black Adam's a villain. But they made it The Rock and made him a good guy, so it doesn't work.
He's an anti-hero.
Black Adam is a monarch of a kingdom that doesn't want anybody in his kingdom. He just protects his land and will kill anybody who comes near it, or the Flash, or Shazam. That's it.
Yeah. No, Dan, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. He's so it's The Rock, all right, with superpowers.
Why would he have to fight Dr. Fate? It doesn't make sense. The helmet is a sentient being for good. Why is he fighting Dr. Fate? Doesn't make any sense.
It's got Cyclone. And then we've got, who else is it? Hawkman? Yeah, Hawkman's in here too. Which one?
That's my question. Which Hawkman?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know.
800 Hawkmen.
I don't know. But I don't know. Like, to me, it was impressive, but I kind of say, like, who else saw this and didn't see the impressiveness because he raised that stupid mace and swung it down and Black Adam caught it. It was like, okay, that's impressive. But then anyone else is like, well, who cares?
Yeah, they don't know what the mace is.
But
they don't know what metal is.
But that metal, but he shouldn't be able to catch it because I think should have just went through his magic. Like, you're magic. Right. Bam, bam.
Right. It's nth metal. It should be interesting and cool. Yeah. But they don't know what nth metal is. It's not established in the lore. Oh god, it's the worst to know that arguably the best version of most of these Justice League characters was in DC Superhero Girls. It's like
which is good. Like,
Hal Jordan being a jock and Connor Hawk just being a quiet brooding dude for no reason. Right? Exactly. They just need bodies. God. It hurts. It's sad. It makes me sad on the inside. Watching all these knowing continuity and understanding how these characters work and the interesting things that could easily be done with them and seeing stuff like the Batman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited series, mm-hmm. stuff, the Harley Quinn show, which arguably has the best Clayface, best interpretation of Clayface, arguably Clayface. One of the best Harley Quinns.
One of the best Harley Quinns, second best Constantine.
Yeah, the very well done Poison Ivy.
Yeah, very well
done. Poison Ivy is amazing. honestly, puts Damian exactly where he needs to be, a snot-nosed brat of a sidekick.
Which is hilarious.
Which is so good.
Basically, my arch nemesis right now. I'm like, that's all. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, so like a lot of the animated stuff has a lot more understanding of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... Yeah, but not the, you know. Lore that Nightwing banged Harley Quinn based on the episode where she worked as a waitress.
I haven't seen that episode yet, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, man, that is a wow.
Doesn't surprise me. Hey, at least they did Nightwing right. Like, no, like a lot of things never do Nightwing right. It's just like, there's just so many failed opportunities for a lot of things.
Yeah,
like the current MCU, right?
Why? I thought you were going to talk about going to CW.
Why does the Scarlet Witch kill the Illuminati by herself?
Yeah.
Why? Like, you ruined a cool, epic moment. Why is she fighting? America Chavez goes, I'll give you what you want. Cool. If you stop chasing me, I'll give you exactly what you want. And she goes, but what if they get sick and I can't fix it? So I need to be able to move to a different world line so if they get sick.
But you're the Scarlet Witch.
You can warp reality. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So the whole plot makes no sense. What is the reason they're going through multiverses? Why does America Chavez have these powers? Why is she introduced at all?
I don't know.
It's just like there's a lot of things that just hurt my brain.
Yeah, it did. I think the simple fact of watching the Illuminati get taken out so quickly, it took out everything. So they're not impressive at all.
Instantly.
It's like, yeah, it had been different, like or they got taken out, but it took like 30 minutes of screen time. Like, this is like them constantly fighting, you know, they've
Reed Richards and Charles Xavier were working together. They would know about a way to nullify any mutant abilities instantly. Showed up, like, cool, no. Yep. What? No. She's no.
15 collars. 15 D mutant collars, okay?
It wouldn't even be that. It wouldn't even need collars. It's like, so, this room has magic dampeners in it. What? Yep. Yeah.
I got
magic. Guess what? I can just stretch. Your mutant powers are dampened. Your human powers are dampened. Because I have Black Panther and Captain Britain over here, they could just punch you in the face.
Yeah. It's like, or the thing is like, I'm Reed Richards. You think I'm in the room? That's a hologram. Oof. Oof. You think I'm in that room with you? Right.
Why would I leave it to chance?
Right. Why would I be in the room with you? I'm actually over here at the Fantastic Four Tower. I'm right. Lasering the site now. What? Nah, I'm going to drop this asteroid on you.
Or like, it's like, yeah, that's what I've heard about the movie. That's all I heard. The Sam Raimi part of the movie is great, but when they're forced to do the MCU stuff of the movie, terrible, terrible. But it's just like, oh, cool. Reed Richards, you know, now we know you have perfectly established that the multiverse exists, and he's talking to a multiversal. Oh, so the Council of Reeds would have let him know that there's a Scarlet Witch that can do that. Because that's just the thing that exists. The Council of Reeds exist. They exist. They would just go, hey, Reed, just so you know, this could happen. This could happen.
Here, take this.
Be prepared.
Yeah, take this gun. You'll need this.
Everything, right?
You know, set your field to do this.
It doesn't make any sense.
It tells you to add mushrooms to your coffee. Trust me. It's great. It's amazing. We all agree.
Yeah, and this is like, what? Like, trust me.
Trust us.
And there's this one is like, don't do that. Trust me, I'm the one who actually still has a relationship with my wife. Don't do that.
It gives us gas. It gives us gas. Oh man, yeah. Something neat with the multiverse. No. So, like, the only thing that could stop the Scarlet Witch was the Scarlet Witch.
Of course.
That's stupid.
Right. Why is this a Doctor Strange movie?
It's proving she was the villain in WandaVision. Can we just say this? Then she.
Right. And that's the other thing is right. You built WandaVision, and you go into a movie. People who haven't seen WandaVision don't know what the hell's happening because they don't explain it. Nope. Which is also an issue.
Yep.
And it's just like, we're just going to keep adding more stuff and hopefully it works somehow. And it's like, this isn't how this works. Yeah. The more you add on, the more you're just going to keep crumbling the structure underneath it.
Yeah.
Nothing is built properly.
Yeah. They don't really have a good plan, a good formulated plan with everything. And you can tell. You can really tell, like with the Netflix Marvel series, right? That each series is meant to stand alone on its own and be its own product. And the Defenders, like, okay, they are done with their quote unquote plots, but this one plot does stretch between all of them. But we need all of them to become pillars before we do this one overarching part. And, you know, Dan Duran sucks. Doesn't matter.
We still needed to introduce this show, and his show was mediocre at best, but we spent the time to build him up.
Yep.
That's how it works. And you had a bunch of Daredevil, you had a bunch of Punisher, you had, you know, Luke Cage's show. Jessica Jones, especially the first season, was really well done because you had David Tennant playing the Purple Man, and he was the fucking best. He was the best part of that entire show.
That was too much.
Moment one of David Tennant, he licks her face. He's just like, all right, we know where this is going.
gave me chills. So this is like, yeah. I'm kind of glad like we didn't like they did, you know, like kill him because it'd go off too long. It's like, I don't know if I could deal with this thing for David, like a whole season.
Yeah, his character is such a really weird and messed up character, and I really enjoy the fact that they actually built her personality around it. This man here.
All right, Jordan from the audience. We've got to change the last.
Yeah, it's just
he's on the shaky cam.
No, it's because like I had to plug it in up here, and because like I got my desk is like full of these right now. Like this is, like tons of these, like the flip tops,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yeah.
Robin, you create. Oh, please be Prune Juice. Please be Prune Juice.
It is.
Oh, it is. And then, of course, you got to cap it off with some of this.
Some Tussin. Put a little Tussin on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, it seemed like you're having a good night.
No, I got home and like it's like super quiet back here. You can see my wall of like mechanical parts. Like, mm-hmm. Just plugged in all the way through the house. It's just like I at work I like black screen it. You know what I mean? It's like I don't look at my shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't want you to look at it.
I like to showcase my server rack.
Oh, well. I like shit. I got no server racks, but I got plenty of these.
Sim cards. Killing it.
Got SIM cards, but I really disliked. I really wish Marvel really did feel like it was going somewhere. Like if they claim they have these phases because She-Hulk is the ultimate bridge show of all of them. If you want to have these people to have these like interoperable moments, just well, we want them to meet this person, we want them to talk to this person. Do it on She-Hulk. It'd have been perfect for it. You know, like if you want Kingpin to have conversation with somebody, cool. He's on trial. He gets to start having a conversation with him.
The issue with She-Hulk is I don't have any issue with the show or any of the contents in it. It's the effect around the show, the things that happen that in the MCU that aren't the show, that's the issue.
Yeah.
Hulk is not Hulk. They have made Hulk a little wussy.
Wow. Whoa.
He's weak.
It's smart Hulk. It's smaller.
They made Hulk a joke. That's the issue.
They
made him a Hulk.
Smart Hulk is weaker than regular Hulk. It's
yes, fine. But he's also gray and not green. And also,
that's hard before, to do.
And before he became Smart Hulk, he was just Hulk. And then he lost a fight and then just wouldn't come out because he was scared.
Well, Thanos is scary.
Hulk would fight Thanos till he died. When they did the Infinity Gauntlet, he kept fighting him. The only reason he didn't was because he got sent into space. And even then, he kept jumping back to try to fight him.
Don't they have lore where, like, Hulk fights the Juggernaut and they just, like, fight forever?
He fought the Sentinel to a standstill, which is basically Superman.
I remember there was, like, people on Quorum that, like, who would win, like, Warhawk, you know, World Hawk, mm-hmm. or like full power Cyberback Juggernaut, right? Because they're just like their maximum, and it's like there's no winner because it's like an unstoppable force and a movable object.
So yes, exactly.
Like they just hit each other forever. It's like would Juggernaut win? Probably if he's like fully powered by Cyberback because it's
mystical. I mean, but the thing is that the Hulk just gets stronger the angrier he gets. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how he is in the MCU, and that's the issue, is that if he's fighting Juggernaut will keep hitting him, and then he's just getting madder and madder to the point where they just destroy the planet they're on.
They also make Juggernaut a meme. Like, they just make him like some Brooklyn accented tough dude in the Deadpool movies where he's like, oh, like, let me just be this. Like, technically, Juggernaut should be able to like level that building in like
one punch. Yeah. Satarek is disgusting. And honestly, it also depends on which Juggernaut. Because if it's Colossus Juggernaut, that might be different.
No. You never do him right. I mean, he's a meme when you do like the X-Men movies when they're like, you know, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. You know?
Yeah.
But like full powered like Cyberg Juggernaut should be able to just like wipe the floor with Hulk, or at least most of the X-Men, you know. Besides like Mystical, Phoenix Force.
Right. Things that can prevent it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's meant to be that person, so they all have to get together and fight and beat down and stuff like that. Instead of, like, you know, everything else. It's
that honestly, my biggest issue with most of the MCU stuff is that they just don't understand their characters. And that's how it always boils down to everything. The Thanos loses because of his own hubris. That's his character. Everything he does, he loses because he's an idiot and he defeats himself.
Well, there's one comic where he got like beyond the Well of Eternity, right? Well, it's just like all the multiverses are like in this well. Like, so like it's 20 times more powerful than any Infinity Stone. Basically, it's like God himself is in this well. He managed to get the well, killed all life, right? Like, everybody's dead. He wins. The only person left is like Adam Warlock. And then like Thanos is like, you know, like, there's nobody here. There's like, this is kind of fucking boring. You know what I mean? It's like Adam Warlock convinces him to like reset the universes, which is what God was playing him to do in the first place. Was like, we're gonna reset it to fix like these continuity errors. You know, so like now everything's back the way it should. But even when Thanos wins, it's boring for him. Like. Yeah. And then the comics is just to impress Death, and she's like,
he doesn't want him, and it's and that's and honestly, Thanos is the reason why Deadpool can't die, because Deadpool was banging Lady Death, and Thanos decided, oh no, I'm not letting that happen. She's my woman, so you're immortal now.
No, it's just the funniest thing. There was even like one where they went to like some God, what was it like? H.P. Lovecraft world where like everything's living flesh and death is dead. There's no death. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they had to bring Death into that multiverse to kill them off. And like even Death with like limitless death was just still not going to bang them. And I'm like, bro, you're simping hard, dude. Yeah. She's like, it's like you've killed like entire multiverses.
Yeah. She's just like,
no. She's like, I don't want you. You're not, like, no matter what you do, I'm not gonna bang you, bro.
And it's like, and then he comes to a realization later on that like even if he kills all life, right, like it doesn't matter because you have to have life to have more death. So you can wipe out every universe in that well, and it's just like I have to have something to fight for. There's not, death's pointless, you know. So he ends up like bringing back the entire universe as an Adam Warlock, which I don't know how fucking Adam Warlock was still there.
Because like, let's be honest, Adam Warlock and Thanos are like best friends, but Thanos doesn't want to admit it though. Because like, the only person that is ever around when Thanos does anything is Adam Warlock. He just shows up. He's like, hey, I'm here.
I don't know. He's like, even when he wins, he's just like, it's boring. Like, I have cheat codes, boring. Like,
the whole in Infinity Gauntlet story, the only reason he loses is because he wins. He gets everything he wants. He goes, he takes the gauntlet off and sets it down. And Nebula, who he had brought back to basically be half dead, takes it and uses the gauntlet to reverse what he did. Because he was like, I don't need it anymore. I won everything. Everybody's loyal to me, and if they're not, they're dead. So he even defeats himself.
Even in the movies, like, I atomized him, turned him to dust. You can't get him back. It's like the time stone goes back in time, bro.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like, it can never be destroyed. It moves backwards in time.
He's like, I did my purpose, like 50% of all life. And it's like,
right. It's like in the MCU, it's an interesting way of going about it because it gave him an actual hero's journey, even though he was the villain. Let's be honest, he was the hero of of Infinity War.
All right, but like also some of it now with Thor: Love and Thunder, right? Some of it's some small plot holes. If Thor could just sit there and just make everybody Thor around him, why didn't he do that then?
Right?
You don't want to be Thor? I got hammers for everybody.
It doesn't make it special. It ruins the moment. It ruins the Cap moment. It ruins his moment of nobody can lift the hammer, and then Cap pulls Mjolnir to himself. It ruins the moment.
But everyone can have hammer.
But this it doesn't work that way.
But everyone can be Thor.
There's just so much that hurts.
I still also don't get the movie because, like, when Tony got, like, all the Infinity Stones, he used it. It's like, dude, he should have been vaporized right out the gate, right? Like, because it's like, to even wield that, you have to have, like, near omnipotent power already, right? Like, which Tony Stark doesn't. He just knows how to do computers. You know, it's like, hey, bro, like, you got the IT tech dude here, like, putting on the Infinity Gauntlet, like, snapping, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, yeah, yo, but like...
They also make him way too stupid about, like, made him way too overpowered by knowing computers. He's like, cool, I made this Iron Man suit that is as strong as Odin. He made Odin armor at one point in the comics.
Oh, man. He needed to do more about, like, alcoholic Iron Man. You know what I mean? Flying around drunk.
Well, they did. Iron Man 2. Who's peeing in he peed in the Iron Man suit, okay?
Like, it's like, here's an Iron Man, baby.
I mean, if we're going to talk about, like, there's a bunch of, like, weird one-off stories they could have did. There's a story where Iron Man is stranded on a desert island because his suit gains sentience and wants to bang him. Wow. Yeah, it's so weird.
Gotta remove that. Just time to delete that program.
They got, like, Future Hulk, where he becomes a, like, Maestro, right?
Maestro,
like,
yep.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to Hulk out anymore because I got, like, my harem of, like, women and my cousin right here. Yep, banging my cousin. Don't give a shit. I'm Maestro. You know?
That happens all the time. Like, it feels like Future Hulk always bangs She-Hulk for no reason. Every time. Mm-hmm. So bad.
Like, I just want him just to be, like, on camera. It's like this woman asks, it's like, how come in every multiverse, like, all the super powered, like, women, you know, why is it always, like, your cousin? And, like, I just wanted to be like, only she can handle, like, the Hulk. And, like, what's the Hulk? And it's like, the girth. You know, the girth.
I mean, Rogue, though. Rogue can handle it.
But yeah, they had that whole, like, old man Logan scene where it's like he just, like, banged his cousin, like, 100 times. And he's like, banged his daughter. You know what I mean? Yep. So, like, inbred hillbilly, yep, like, Hulk people, and Wolverine's like, I'm going to cut you up, right? Like, let's do it. Then Wolverine, like, burst out of his stomach, and he's like, yeah, he kill the him. Hulk. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, old man Logan. Like, you did that, like, forever ago.
And old man Logan, Wolverine gets eaten by the Hulk, and he regenerates inside of his stomach and bursts out of his back. Because old man Logan is a really dark and weird story. And I enjoy it because it's dark and weird and it's a different take on it. But, you know, that's just how things go when interesting things happen and they flip things on their head. Which is stuff that's cool. Like, there's a recent storyline that if they had a better ending, it'd probably be talked about more. But, like, they ended up because, like, there was an alternate timeline or an alternate world where the Earth, the core of the Earth, was an egg for a Eternal, not Eternal, the Celestial, the egg of the Celestial, and they had to prevent it from erupting out of the planet, and the only way to do it was for Doctor Strange, before he dies, to the erupting Eternal, to open a portal to a world that's basically a constant EMP burst. Okay. And it completely destroys all technology on Earth.
There's a reason why anime outsells, like...
I mean, of course.
You know what I mean? Like a reason. And, like, I'm saying most of the anime is trash, too, but it's like I walked in today, and, like, I walked in, like, the bedroom, and, like, Heather's watching Nana, and I'm like, and, like, first thing I said was, like, you know, like, the reason I wouldn't watch this is because the main character, like, she's not stacked. You know what I mean? It's like bring it. You know, it's like I'm burnt out on it. It's just like people are like, they just tell, like, superhero comics are down, movies are down, like, anime's up, and I'm like,
yeah,
there's so much bad anime that people just, like, they'll watch it. Like,
it's popular now. It's at that point in pop culture where it's popular compared to what it was before. Comics were the thing for a while, and then it just got too convoluted and so hard to get into that they just kind of got pushed to the side because they kept trying to make new and new stories and not connect things. And this one is in continuity. This one isn't in continuity, when I can just go pick up a manga and this is volume 1 through 7. And this is the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the story. They're not going to reset. They're not going to be a new 52, you know?
Well, you had,
I mean, there is Dragon Ball Super, but we don't talk about that.
You have the new Super movie where it's like Piccolo, who hasn't done shit for like 10 years, right? Like shit for 10 years. And he's like, Shenron, like, I need to like a power boost. And right, keep in mind, like, this is the same dragon that's limited by the power of like whoever created it, which means like it's Dende, right?
Yeah.
So like the Dende dragon touches Piccolo's head, turns him orange, right? So now, like, Piccolo, with the same power as Dende, who did the dragon, is now orange and, like, 50 feet tall, and is, like, King Kong Godzilla just, like, slamming people with, like, you know, Ultra Instinct level. I'm like, that makes no sense, bro.
No, because even in Super, they had a cool way of going about it. Because in the Tournament of Power, it's like, all right, all these Namekians join together as one, and they just become massively destructive because they're strong together.
I mean, even Gohan got a boost where it's like, what do you call this form? This beast Gohan. And like, I looked at the character art for it. I'm like, Toriyama, you literally just looked at like fan fiction for Dragon Ball when people were doing like Super Saiyan 10, Super Saiyan 20 back in the 90s. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like the bigger the hair and shit, right? Mm-hmm. You basically just took some dude's like fanfic from the 90s off like some like JP board, copied it over, and it's like, it's Gohan Beast.
But it doesn't make any. The issue is that they basically limited Gohan's power. Even Gohan Beast doesn't make sense in its own storyline because when he became Ultimate Gohan, that was his cap. They literally said, "This is your cap. We have capped you."
And then the who's he gonna fight? Cell, but red.
Yeah, it's Cell. See. You guys, you know, like Gohan. You guys like Cell.
Like the power scaling is just so dumb in that right now. It's like they brought Frieza back, and Frieza did like 10 minutes in the hyperbolic time chamber, and he's like, now he's like twice as powerful as everybody else. Like
Frieza black Frieza or whatever.
Black Air Force One energy is like all he is now. It's like just rolling around blacked out, like they're stomping people, and it's like. It's like that's
the only issue with things being in a timeline compared to it being just continuity and stuff is that your numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger because you have to make your hero have more and more of a threat of what's going on. Compared how Dragon Ball happens. Think about Dragon Ball happens and how Luffy and One Piece happens. And it's like cool. Here are the lower levels and higher, and here's the people you're fighting. This guy turns into a literal continent-wide dragon.
Makes sense.
Like, what's the next gear Luffy's gonna... Like, the only thing funny about One Piece is, like, the fan service, right? It's like, well, Luffy's got a new gear. It's like, but how big those titties gonna get, right? It's like every arc, dude, it's just like, he just draws them, like... This much bigger. It's like
Toriyama's, you can tell as he's getting older and older, what he's focusing on more and more. Toriyama, Oda.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. His arm's getting. It's hard to drive small. It's easy to drive big.
It's easy to drive big.
Yeah, like she. Like I remember, like watching One Piece, and she was like some teenage girl, and then it's like the next season, it's like, you know, whatever. She's growing up. Then, like by the third season, it's like, bro, You're making this a hentai like really, really quick. You know what I mean? Really, really quick. You want the rule 34 to happen, you're making it happen. You know what I mean? It's like, just keep going. And then like now it's just like.
Yeah, the time skip happened and it's like, here's a stick with water balloons attached.
You're welcome.
To all of them. Yeah. I mean, the longer the series goes on, it's harder and harder for them to actually create threat and create a reason to keep fighting. Right. Like Boruto, and even in Boruto, it's not even about Boruto half the time. It's like, how do we make Naruto even more powerful? How do we do this to make Naruto even more powerful? When in actuality, this anime could have been way, way better. If you just let it be Shikamaru running a shadow government with Shino controlling the police state, that would have been way cooler.
Why did they give Naruto like a 12-year-old boy haircut, right? This is the worst fucking haircut I've ever seen, dude. It's like his face is fatter than his hair. So it's like, but I think it's just a problem of that genre because you can do this with Gundam Wing, right? Like, you don't have to power scale a Gundam. you just power scale the politics, right? Where right. it's like, yeah. oh, there's a new contingent of like rebels or mm-hmm. whatever, imperialist, right. and like the power scaling works like that. The power scaling is bad when you're like pew, 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 shooting lasers out of my eyes and like key blast and like right. genjutsu, you know. Here's a new one, you know. And that's.
But that's the issue with almost anything that goes on for a long. The longer it goes on, the harder it is to make things believable. Like having a slice of life anime that's like supposed to be a rom-com and the main couple doesn't get together after 200 episodes is absurd. It's absurd. There's no reason for it to happen when it's blatantly obvious to everybody, and the point of holding it on for so long makes no sense.
The Spy X Family just spoiled you, that's all. Second episode, that's all you need.
Whoa. Spy X Family's different. That one's different. But no, it's more of just like anything that runs on for long enough, it becomes impossible to make the story work without constantly power scaling or shifting or creating more issues for no reason that just doesn't work with how it was originally.
Rom-coms are fucking funny, dude, because like you said, 200 episodes of them before they hold hands and kiss. It's like in real life, dude, he would have banged her second date. You know what I mean? Like straight up, right. like real life, like rom-com, second date.
Right but, there. Yeah, but as we were talking about earlier, there's always some random miscommunication. If fucking the two characters talk for 2 minutes, it would have been completely fixed. He's like, oh, I like this guy. Oh, he's talking to this female over there. Oh, he probably is dating her. 10 episodes later, oh, that was your sister? I didn't know.
Like, I just want, for example, Overlord, where, like, the overpowered protagonist thing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want him, like, as the episodes go on, he defeats the Elf King and whatever else overpowered shit in that world is. Like, some GM from the game comes in. He's like, what the fuck? How did you get into the dev environment? You know what I mean? Basically. He's like, you can't beat my spell magic? Yeah, I can. I got console commands, loser. I just want that to happen. You know, I got fucking console commands. Like, what are you doing? Typing tilt right now.
So that was a season of SAO. You know, so it was just like in there, like the console, like, hold on, let me just start messing with commands and this thing. Anyways, so this episode is starting to get long in the tooth. Went over our hour marker, so we're going to end it because we keep these nice small snippets here on Monday nights on our live showing. So once again, if you've made it this far, an episode, thank you for listening to an episode of Low Key. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but decided to listen to this and that. I thank you. So hopefully next week I don't know if we'll be able to get back to our media that shapes us. We'll be talking about more pop culture talk and more stuff coming after that. Also, I am working on the plan to do the big show on our big show on Friday. Just don't know which Friday we're going to do it. It looks like it's going to maybe October 7th, but I don't know yet. Still trying to hammer out the details, so make sure I'm not crouching too many things. But, you know, this month and October is, you know, it's tons of events in my life, so, and everyone else's. So just trying to make it work. So, all right. If you ever want to, yeah, so guess want to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll say goodbye, but I'll tell you guys, you're bored on the 26th. You want to see me stay up 36 hours straight on caffeine and cigarettes or running through Wrath of the Lich King? Right here, baby. Like, full 36 hours grind. Like, back like it. I'm in high school.
Are you doing are you doing a 24 hour stream of the
26th? Yeah.
Okay. All right. October?
Like September 26th. Oh, okay. Like beginning of October into September. Like, we could put it on this channel too. Like, you want to watch Niece suffer? You want to see Niece get mad after like 20 hours and scream at a healer?
They can't be on this channel. We know how you are, Niece.
Like, fucking, this is the 30th run, you know, like, fucking heal me. Like, throw this cup across the room. It's like, man, like, I'm fucking tired.
Your elaborate insult, it'll be enough to get this channel banned.
I put PTO in for the reason. It's like, well, I'm going north, and like, my boss is like, where are you going? Michigan, Wisconsin? I'm like, oh, it's tongue in cheek. I'm going to fucking Northrend, bro. He's like, what? And I'm like, he's like, yeah, I linked him like the release date. He's like, so you're doing PTO, not even leaving the computer, just sitting there with Teams open, answering people, just playing a video game for 2 days straight. Yeah, I just sent him a meme with like the Chad yes. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes, that's what I'm doing.
Yep. Okay. All right. I made it straight.
Ended it.